And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, we're broadcasting from Austin, Texas today. I've got Miss Cammy Snyder and Jerry Barrett over on the soundboard over there watching things to make sure that I don't go astray. Appreciate their work always here in our studio and our ministry in Austin, Texas. And great to be with you. This message, of course, is going around the world. We're heard from Worldwide Christian Radio, Nashville, Tennessee, even though we're in Austin, of course, and through the miracle of shortwave radio, about 120 countries around the world. And we have our powerofprophecy.com audio streaming 24/7, 7 days a week. And if you missed the program on shortwave radio, well, just tune in, go to the internet to powerofprophecy.com, and right there on the homepage, you can listen into the program. Well, we got a special program for you today. You know, every once in a while, I just head it up to here. I mean, I've just, you know, it goes past my chin, past my mouth, and sort of almost gets up to my nose. And I'm talking about the quicksand that Christian pastors and churches have become today. It's a quicksand. And it's just a cesspool of devilish evil. Now, I want to assure you, there is a Church of Jesus Christ in the world today. And I believe that there are a number of Americans who are true Christians, but their ranks are getting thinner and thinner. We live in really a post-Christian society. And I'm going to prove it to you today just by taking you on a little survey, a little tour. Let's just say, just jump on the bus, because we're going to take a little ride today across what is supposed to be Christian America. Christian America. And you'll see what a devastation this has become. You know, I'm appalled at the things that I read now, the things that I discover going on in America. And I want to let you know that many of you have sent me these news articles and news clippings and information about things going on in your local community. Things that are just amazing that Christians wouldn't have tolerated 20, 30, 40 years ago. I mean, pastors would have been drummed out on their ears if they had done some of the things they're doing today. And now they're getting away with it. I just want to let you know, and these pastors of evil know something. God is watching. Oh, they think he's not. They think nobody sees, nobody hears. God is watching. I was always taken with the verse in the New Testament where it says that every person will be called to account. We will be called before the throne of Christ. And we will have to give an account of what we have done on this earth. Now, I must tell you that all of us will probably wish we had done a lot more. We will, every one of us. And I know, and that's one of the reasons why I fight so hard for the truth on this program, Power of Prophecy, because I don't want to stand in front of God one day and have to admit that I didn't care, that I was apathetic, that I was lackadaisical and did nothing for God's kingdom. You know, I don't want to do that. And even if you're a saved Christian and you believe in eternal security, who wants to stand before God and have the great embarrassment? And friends, God is going to, every act that you've ever done is going to come to light. Nothing that you do is secret. God knows it all. And he says those things that have been whispered in closets will be shouted from rooftops. Boy, it is going to be an embarrassing day for a lot of people, a frightening day. But for some people, it's going to be a horror. Because some people actually believe they're Christians. They believe they're doing right for God, and they're going to be standing before the throne. And Jesus says in his word, they're going to be saying to God, justifying themselves, and saying things like, look at everything I did in your name, Lord. Why, I even cast out devils in your name. And Jesus says that I will look at them and I will say, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you. Now, friends, I don't believe these people are lying. I mean, when you stand before God on Judgment Day, you know, as you know that old saying, the jig is up. It's time. It's time to tell the truth. I believe these people are just misled. They're confused. The devil has such a fast grip on their mind, they actually believe they are doing things for the Lord. They think they're helping build up his kingdom even while they're in bed with the devil. Otherwise, they wouldn't stand before Jesus himself and say, look at all the things I did in your name, Lord. Why, I even cast out devils. You know, Judas cast out devils too. Judas actually cast out devils. A lot of people can't remember that passage in the Bible where Jesus Christ, our Lord, sent them out two by two. And Judas was one of the 12, and he went forth from city to city casting out devils. But then he turned. He turned. And what did he do? He betrayed our Lord. I believe these people are betrayers of our Lord and of the Christian body. You make up your own mind, though. What are your standards as a Christian, dear friend? Where do you draw the line between what is righteous, what is pure, and what is dirt? What is light and what is dark? I'm not going to comment on a lot of these things today. I want you to make up your own mind. Because the minute that I speak of these things today, I know it is very predictable. I will get letters from people, and they will say, how dare you say this or that about a certain pastor or a church? How dare you, Tex Mars? Why, you're so judgmental. You're so wicked and bigoted and narrow-minded. You should not judge others. The Bible says, judge not. That's the kind of letters I get here to the ministry. Judge not. And I've always found it ironic, dear friends. These people who write these mean letters to me, these vicious letters, complaining because I simply have been exposing wrongdoing in the world, are they not being judgmental in writing the letters to me? Are they not judging me? Of course they are. They're calling me names. They're saying you're headed right for hell, Tex Mars. They're saying you're a bigot, you're narrow-minded, you're judgmental. They call me every name in the book, and then they end up by saying, judge not, lest ye be judged. I've never seen such hypocrites in my life. They're judging Tex Mars. By their own standards, how can they judge me? I should be able to say anything about anybody I want to, even if it's not true. And they can't judge me, because they believe that you shouldn't judge. But of course, the problem is that I do tell the truth. And that really makes them mad. It really makes them mad. Well, let's start off. We're going to start off with some big names here, like at Oral Roberts University. You know, the older man, Oral Roberts, has retired. And his son took over Oral Roberts University. Now, you'll remember that Oral Roberts himself, you know, promised people things. He said, send me money so I can build a medical hospital, and God is going to give us at that hospital the cure for cancer. And people sent him millions of dollars, and he built a big hospital at the City of Faith, he called it, in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Well, guess what? The years went by, and they never did find a cure for cancer. He lied, but he got his hospital. He became a big shot, and he got a university, and he named it after himself. Oral Roberts University. He retired, and he left his son in charge. Now that son, Richard Roberts, has been kicked out of the university after it came out that there were certain lurid allegations made against him and his wife. The college there, Oral Roberts University, is about to dissolve in scandal. If it had not been for a certain very rich man who came in with several tens of millions of dollars, they would have gone under, had filed for bankruptcy. It seems that Richard Roberts was living quite lavishly at donors' expense. And, well, for example, it says here that he had a jet that whisked him and his family around. In fact, his daughter's senior year in high school, she took a trip to the Bahamas on the jet that belonged to the church and university there. Cammy, how many rides have you had on our jet? Zero. You didn't know we have a jet hidden out there in the woods somewhere? Oh, just kidding. And his daughter also was given a red Mercedes convertible. And it's okay if people want to buy red Mercedes convertibles. His wife was given a Lexus SUV, and that's okay too if they pay for it with their own money. And they've spent tens of thousands of dollars on clothes, and they bought it, all the clothes, with the university's money, Oral Roberts University. See, they didn't just get a salary, they just used the university for their piggy bank. And I don't know how you do that. I know here in this ministry, that's not quite the way we do things. You know, we were audited by the IRS, and they wanted to know how much money I got. And obviously, in fact, I think that the tax auditor was sort of shocked. He said, well, do you have an expense account? And I said, no. He said, how many trips have you gone on? I said, one in the last year. I was invited to a church in North Carolina. He said, you've only gone to one? Do you ever go to Las Vegas on ministry trips? I said, Las Vegas? Are you kidding me? He was surprised. He thought I was like a lot of other pastors of churches and ministries he had audited. He said, do you have who pays for your car? I said, I do. He said, the ministry doesn't pay for your car, Mr. Mars. I said, no, I pay for my car. Does the ministry pay for your phone bill at home? No. And it doesn't pay for my wife's clothes. And it doesn't pay for our meals. It doesn't buy gasoline. And we don't eat at restaurants and charge it to the ministry. We don't do any of those things. I think that the tax auditor almost flipped. He couldn't believe it. In fact, he actually said, why not? Why not? Like, why aren't you doing it? Well, I don't do that. The ministry's money belongs to the ministry. Well, Oral Roberts University, they blew millions of dollars on personal expenses, including a red Mercedes convertible and a Lexus SUV and remodeling projects and trips to the Bahamas. And then there were the allegations about his wife having illicit sex with young students there on campus. Richard Roberts' wife, that is. We go from Oral Roberts University to the Pope and to the Vatican. Evidently, the Vatican has known for a long time about an elite seminary over in Europe where little boys are being molested left and right, but the Pope did nothing about it. And when ABC News reporter Brian Ross visited Rome, he actually had an opportunity for just a moment. The Pope came walking by, and Mr. Ross asked him some questions about the allegations against Father Marcial. You see, Father Marcial is a guy who leads up an organization in the Catholic Church, Vatican, a very well-connected and well-financed organization called the Legion of Christ. Doesn't that sound good? The Legion of Christ. They have millions of dollars people have donated to the Legion of Christ. It operates in the United States and 19 other countries. The problem is that the 82-year-old Father Marcial, the head of the Legion of Christ, is a longtime pedophile. And he enjoys having sex with little boys. But the cardinals at the Vatican have been covering it up. And so ABC News' Brian Ross, thank God for him, actually stopped the Pope as he was walking by and asked the Pope, this is the new Pope now, Benedict, ask him, what about Father Marcial? Why haven't you done anything about him? Because you see, there are all these police reports and investigations. Did you know that Pope Benedict got so angry, he actually reached over and smacked the ABC News reporter on the hand and told him to shut up? He was visibly upset. Well, I'd have just reached over and slapped him back on the hand. Maybe I'd have slapped him in the face. Actually, I wouldn't have done either one. But isn't that interesting? The Pope Benedict, covered up this sexual pedophile that was, I'm not even going to tell you all the details about what he did. And when he's asked about it, he gets mad and slaps the hand of the reporter. No wonder today I'm covering pastors and churches gone wild. They're gone bunkers. By the way, here's the article from CNN.com about the Catholic seminary where they found child porn. From Vienna, Austria. Let me read it to you. A vast cache of child pornography and photos of young priests having sex together has been discovered at a Roman Catholic seminary, officials said Monday. Bishop Kurt Krenn, who oversees the diocese, has refused to step down, however. He says the activity is simply childish pranks. Come again? They showed child pornography and photos of young Catholic priests having sex together as homosexuals, and he said it's just pranks. They're just having fun. Hey, Pope Benedict, thank you for visiting America, but why didn't you explain that? You know, when the Pope came to visit America in the month of April of this year, the press touted him. What a wonderful moral man. He actually met with 5 survivors of pedophile priests. 5 survivors he met with. Hey, Mr. Pope, there's millions of people who've been molested by Catholic priests. Why did you only meet with 5? I think I know why. They chose 5 people that didn't complain very much. They chose 5 people that would kiss his ring and get down and kiss him on the big toe if the Pope asked him to. And then he could appear so warm and magnanimous and loving. I care for you who have been abused by priests sexually. So he met with 5 little people. Thousands molested, but he had time for 5. I mentioned a couple weeks ago in the program about Oprah Winfrey has a new religious program on a radio show. Oprah Winfrey, one of America's most famous and powerful women, they say, has been having satellite radio programs and her guest, Marianne Williamson, and others have been bringing actual messages to people from the book A Course in Miracles. Now, I talked about A Course in Miracles, this New Age book, and my own expose book, New Age Cults and Religions. Now, Oprah Winfrey told her audience this book is so powerful and so important, she recommended they get it, A Course in Miracles. It will take you 365 lessons, one a day, and you can know everything that you need to know about God and Jesus and Christ and how to live in the world. And Oprah says this book has changed her life. She says it will teach you to rethink everything you know about God and life. Well, that it does. Now, I want to give you a little brief description of some of the things you're going to find in this New Age Bible, A Course in Miracles, that Oprah Winfrey wants you to read, that she's promoting. First of all, it says, this is right out, and that's right, I'm quoting A Course in Miracles. I'm quoting from it. Now remember, A Course in Miracles is a big, thick book. They call it a New Age Bible. And the woman who wrote it says she did it through what is called automatic writing. She said, I just put a pen in my hands, my right hand, that is, and I got paper, and then my hand just wrote. I didn't write. Something took over my body and wrote this book. Ah, yes. Through automatic writing. That's what they call it when a spirit or a ghost or whatever the term they want to call, an entity, a presence, takes over your body, possesses you, and then you just write. You don't even know what you're writing. You just write. And when she finished it, over many months, it came out as A Course in Miracles. What do you think the spirit was, or who the spirit was, my friend? I know. Dr. Helen Schuchman was the name of the New York psychologist. By the way, she was a Jew. She's a Jew who wrote this book, A Course in Miracles. She was asked, who do you think the spirit was that took over your body and caused you to write this book? She said, I really don't know who it was, but it said it was Jesus. It said it was Jesus. Well, Dr. Schuchman, I assure you it was not Jesus, because here's some of the things that the spirit, the devil, who spoke to Miss Schuchman, Dr. Schuchman, excuse me, told her to write down. First, there is no sin. There is no sin. Second, a slain Christ has no meaning. Third, the journey to the cross is a useless journey. Fourth, do not make the pathetic error of clinging to the old rugged cross. Number five on the Course of a Miracles list of quotable quotes, the name of Jesus Christ as such is but a symbol. It is a replacement for the many names of all the gods to which you pray. Next, you'll find this quote, God is in everything I see. Hey, by the way, the New Agers and Oprah Winfrey really love that one. It just makes them cry. They just tear up. Oh, God is in everything I see. He's in trees. He's in animals. He's in my dog. He's in my neighbors. He's everywhere. He's in all of the people of the world. He's in nature. He's in the stars. God is in everything I see. And then they just bawl. They just cry. It's so touching. And then finally, this one. They like this one too. Oprah, particularly. The recognition of God is in the recognition of yourself. In other words, you're God. You're God. And of course, there's the classic, you know, like the Mormons teach, Jesus and Lucifer are brothers. Oh, yes, that's in there too. Jesus isn't really God. He and Lucifer, why, they're blood brothers. And by the way, Jesus complains in this book, A Course in Miracles. He says he got a raw deal from God, that he had to go to the cross. That was a raw deal. Can you imagine Jesus saying, boy, I got a raw deal from God. He made me go to the cross. Boy, boy. Oprah Winfrey loves it. A Course in Miracles. Read about it, though, in my book, New Age Cults and Religion. Just amazing. By the way, the last time I did a program on Oprah Winfrey, I got a letter from her attorneys in Chicago threatening me and threatening to sue this ministry if I spoke anything negative about Miss Winfrey. Well, as you can see, I'm doing it again, so I expect to get another letter from Oprah Winfrey's attorneys, and I'm sure they'll threaten me again. Hey, here's a church for you. Let's go from Oprah Winfrey's church, and that's sort of what she's doing is preaching, to another church. It's called Victory Church in Amarillo, Texas. You might want to go there. They recently had what they call their annual Fashionably Loud event. Fashionably Loud event. It featured fashion models, rock and hip-hop music, light shows, break dancing, an electric guitar battle, and other things. Now, they had a fashion show, too, and the women of the church showed off very low-cut necklines, short skirts, bare midriffs, punk hairstyles, tight pants, you name it. Now, why did they do it? Well, the church's senior pastor, David Brown, said, quote, it helps us to suggest to people that Christians are not living in another world, but the same one everyone else lives in. Did you get that? Christians are in the same world everybody else is in. We have to live just like them. Wow. And then he said, quote, actually this comes from the pastor of student ministries at the church, Mike Imminger. He says, we will challenge our people with the fact that God has fashioned us and that he wants us to live loud, full lives. Loud, full lives. Is that true? Well, friends, you make up your own mind, but the way I recall the Bible, it says that Christian women are to adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. Find that in Timothy 2, verse 9. It says they should wear the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Did you get that? They say at Victory Church in Amarillo, Texas, that people are to live loud and full lives, but the Bible says we're to have a meek and quiet spirit. Wow. And as far as living in the world and wanting the things of the world, what does the Bible say in Colossians 3, verse 2? It says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things in the world. Romans 12, verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world. I'm wondering if this pastor even reads the Bible. What do you think? Well, there's another church out there, and evidently, they've had a meeting recently and decided that the environmental movement is the most important thing in their church. In fact, they've come up with a green Bible. A green Bible. When we come back in just a minute, I'm going to tell you about their green Bible. You know, a lot of the Bibles out there have Jesus' words in red. I've sort of liked them. But now there's a green Bible. You'll want to know about it and what this church is doing with it when we return. Tonight, we're talking about pastors and churches gone wild. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. I hope you'll stay with us. We'll be right back after this brief message. Hello again, friends. Tex Mars here. You know, many people have asked us about 9/11. What really happened on 9/11? well, I think one of the best books written. It's really not a long book. It's about 125 pages or so in length. Is a book by my friend Victor Thorne. It's called 9/11 Evil, and the subtitle is very explanatory. It is Israel's Central Role in the September 11, 2001 Terrorist Attacks. Who did it? Israel. It was an inside job. The Bush administration was involved. The American CIA and FBI were in on the plot. Not all of the agents of the CIA and FBI, just the rogue criminal element at the top. Dick Cheney knew. Bush knew, of course, the president. But the Israeli Mossad was behind this. It wasn't 19 Arabs, and you must read the truth. Victor Thorne has written what I believe is the most dangerous 9/11 book ever written. And by the way, you can't buy this book entitled 9/11 Evil at your bookstores. They have banned this book. It's just not available. Go down to Barnes & Noble or Borders Books or whatever, you know, Walden Books or B. Dalton Books and try to find it. You can't. It's entitled 9/11 Evil. And boy, it is documented and it is powerful. You got to have this book by Victor Thorne, that's T-H-O-R-N, entitled 9/11 Evil. Simple as that. Now, we want you to have this book and we'll be delighted to send it to you for your love gift of $15. Now, remember, when I say love gift, we're not tax exempt here, so you don't get a taxable gift certificate or anything like that. But you do get the satisfaction of knowing that every dollar you send to us, we use for the glory of God. Now, the book is called 9/11 Evil. To get your copy for $15, all you have to do is phone us toll-free 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. You can also write to us and send us $15. And by the way, please add $4 for shipping and handling, a total of $19 postpaid for the book 9/11 Evil, Israel's Central Role in the September 11th, 2001 Terrorist Attacks. You'll find out the truth. You'll find out the truth about the Israeli secret agents who were actually on top of a building filming the whole thing as it occurred, as the airplane struck the World Trade Center towers. They were filming it. And when the planes went in the buildings and the flames, you know, crescendo of flames and smoke came out, they actually began to dance and shout and hold hands and high-five each other. The dancing Israelis filming the whole thing. They knew it was going to happen, and they wanted to make a video of their accomplishment. Boy. 9/11 Evil by Victor Thorne. $19 postpaid. Phone is toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. It's also available on our website, powerofprophecy.com. And you can write to us and send us $19, money order or check or cash, and send that to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. That's Austin, Texas, 78733. Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road. Now let's return to our regular program. And today we have a special program because this is volume 4. You see, every once in a while we do a volume. Exploring churches and pastors gone wild. Gone wild. Uncontrollable. Well, they went pretty wild in Atlanta, Georgia a few months ago. 14,000 Southern Baptists were there at a huge celebration convention there in Atlanta, Georgia. And Al Gore, you know, he's a Baptist, old Al, former Vice President of the United States. He was recognized for his work as, you won't, I mean, if I didn't see it in print, I wouldn't believe it. Al Gore was recognized by the Baptists for his work as, quote, an old style biblical prophet. I know, you think I'm kidding you. You think I've got my tongue in my cheek. Folks, I'm not kidding you. I just reported. I don't make it up. Al Gore was recognized by 14,000 Baptists for his work as an old-time, actually it's old style, I want to make sure my words are right, biblical prophet. Oh my goodness. And he was given a new Bible. That's right. They have now published another Bible. I told you about all these new editions that are coming out, New Age Bible versions, Satan's Bibles, I call them. Now there's another one. It's called the Green Bible. It's environmentally correct. It's published by Harper One Publications, and it's based on the New Revised Standard Version, which is not the same now as the standard American Standard Version or the Revised Standard Version. This is the New Revised Standard Version. Now wait a few more years and they'll have the new Revised Standard Version. But right now you can get the New Revised Standard Version. But make sure you get the Green Bible, because all the words throughout the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, that are on the theme of the environment have anything to do with trees or grass or anything to do with weather or climate. It's all in green. Oh my goodness gracious. And they gave old Al Gore one of the first copies of the Green Bible. I'm sure it was something that he must have cried about. He was so happy to receive it. Seeing as he's one of the big promoters of this hoax theory of global warming. Meanwhile, we go from the Green Bibles of Al Gore and the Baptist to the champagne dance party of a church in Seattle, Washington, Mars Hill Church. I sort of hate it that they use my name, but at least they spelled it with one R. You know, Mars Hill, such as in the Bible. The Apostle Paul, of course, preached on Mars Hill, but I don't think he's going to make an appearance anytime soon at Mars Hill Church in Seattle, even though the church seems to be having just a lot of worldly fun. They recently had their Red Hot Bash number 2. Now, I don't know much about number 1. I wasn't at that one, and I wasn't really at this one either. I'm just reading it, folks. I'm just telling you what the report says. It featured Bobby Medina and his Red Hot Band, one of the top dance bands in the Northwest. They played everything from swing to Latin to Motown and beyond. Participants were invited. Now remember, now this is a church. Participants were invited to, quote, come bust a move on the enormous dance floor, and were reminded to bring their IDs so they could enjoy the champagne bar. The church was transformed into a posh club. There was a dance contest, of course. And they had, afterwards, they had a, what they call the Theology of the Bottle Works, where, I'm going to just read this right from the church's publications, where participants grab a beer and discuss political or spiritual topics, such as the role of women in society, the legal system, or animal rights. Nothing about saving people, nothing about heaven, nothing about Jesus, what he did for us on the cross, but grab a beer and discuss the role of women in society, the legal system, or animal rights. Oh my. There were also R-rated movies at film night. And a church not too far from Mars Hill Church in Seattle, Damascus Road Church in Marysville, Washington, decided to have its own fun night. And so they had a men's poker night. Said, bring your money. We're going to have a men's poker night. They also had a men's Bible and brew and a men's movie night. And in the church bulletin, it said, we're having all of these events because we do not believe that we should live like the world. Huh? They claimed they were not worldly, and that's why they were having men's Bible and brew night. Oh, my. Boy, boy. But wait, I'm not finished. Let's not knock these several churches. Here's another church from way over in England. That's right. They're doing it over in England too at Christian churches. At Action Church in York, England, they've opened up a nightclub. They call it Fat Daddy's Nightclub. Fat Daddy's. You don't go to church anymore. They say people don't even like the name of church. So they've changed it. It's not a church anymore. Come to Fat Daddy's Nightclub. Now, if you don't like the name, they have an alternate name. They call it Action Church. But that's really not what they like. You see, Fat Daddy's Nightclub, or Action Church, if you're an old fuddy-duddy and just like the church name, is being billed as, quote, a church for people who don't like church. Now, the church, evidently, according to the newspapers over in England, is catching on, getting quite popular with the crowds. It's well known for its loud Christian rock music, rock and roll music, free donuts, and coffee. Oh. It says, the congregation dresses in jeans and sweats. They sit in front of the band or on stools at the bar. Mm-hmm. The band plays under purple and red stage lights. Some people complained, some visitors, and had to stuff their ears with the foam plugs provided at the door. I'm sure that would happen to Tex Morris, yours truly. I can guarantee you. And upstairs, they did have Sunday school for the kids, and their lesson this particular Sunday, according to the reporter, was God is love, and that's real nice. I'm sure they preach a lot of that there. Now, why are they having rock and roll music, free donuts, at Fat Daddy's Nightclub there at Action Church? Well, says the pastor, to put the teachings of Jesus in action. That's why we meet up in a bar. Why Jesus would do it if he were here, said the pastor. I bet he would. Mm-hmm. Well, now the Episcopalians, they get a little jealous when they hear about things like this going on at these community churches and Baptist and Pentecostal churches, so they decided to have their own fling. They said, we need to go wild too, we Episcopalians. So, according to the Los Angeles Times, Miss Connie Kang, reporter, Episcopalians recently held an Indian Rite Mass with Hindus. That's right. They held, I want to say that again, an Indian Rite, R-I-T-E, Mass with Hindus. Let me just read it to you because it's sort of so unbelievable that you're probably shaking your head, say Tex must be making these things up. It says here, Hindu nun Pravrajika Saradeshprarana, dressed in a saffron robe, blew into a conch shell three times, calling to worship Hindu and Episcopal religious leaders who joined Saturday to celebrate an Indian Rite Mass at St. John's Cathedral near downtown in Los Angeles. The rare joint service included chants from the Temple Bhajan Band of the Hindus International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and of course St. John's Episcopal Church Choir gave forth a moving rendition of Bless the Lord, O My Soul. Bob Bland, a member of St. Patrick's Episcopal Church of Thousand Oaks, California, was among the 260 attendees. He loved the service. He said, quote, this was a once-in-a-lifetime experience in worship service. There was something so holy, So much symbolism and so many opportunities for meditation. Now, Right Reverend, I like the names these Episcopals give themselves. Vicar this and priest this. But I really like the one Right Reverend. You know, I think I'll give myself a name like that. Just call me from now on the Vicar, Right Reverend Tex Mars. You know, when you don't have Jesus Christ all for people, you have to have titles, right? So the Right Reverend J. John Bruno, the Right Reverend Bruno, Bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Los Angeles. Now, he's a real poobah. He's a real big shot there, a real potentate of the Episcopal Diocese of Los Angeles, which is one of America's largest, issued a statement of apology to the Hindu religious community. He said, "We Christians for centuries have discriminated against the Hindus." How? By our wrong attempts to convert them. He said, "The world cannot afford for us to repeat the eras of our past in which we sought to dominate rather than to serve." In this spirit, said the Right Reverend Bruno, "In this spirit, and in order to take another step in building trust between our two great religious traditions, I offer a sincere apology to the Hindu religious community." Now, Bishop Bruno also said he was committed to renouncing the proselytizing of Hindus. Now, isn't that really touching? That's so sweet, isn't it? My, my. Well, the Hindu guru who was there, Sarvadevananda, yeah, I think I got that right. Hindu guru Sarvadevananda said in his response to the Pope, he got up and he said this. He said, quote, "By declaring there will be no more proselytizing, the bishop has opened a new door of understanding. The modern religious man," said the Hindu guru, "must expand his understanding and love of religions and their practices." Oh, boy. After the service, Christians and Hindus lined up for communion. Oh, my goodness. Oh. Well, okay, we'll just leave it at that. There's more that happened there, but I'm sure you got the gist of it, and I'm sure you'll probably be apologizing to your local Hindu guru for trying to proselytize the Hindus. Meanwhile, Rick Warren, who wrote the number one New York Times best-selling book, The Purpose-Driven Church and the Purpose-Driven Life, is now teaching Jews. That's right. He's branched out. He's no longer just preaching to Christians. He's preaching to Jews and Muslims and Hindus. What about Jesus? No. He's preaching to them about building a community, a bridge to the various religions. Now, this is from Los Angeles Religious News Service. It says, evangelical megachurch pastor Rick Warren came to a meeting of the nation's largest Jewish movement with a simple message, smile and be friendly. Now, that's really touching, isn't it? Smile and be friendly. You know, in the Bible, the prophets and the apostles, when they went to the heathen and preached, they went there with what? The gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the cross. In fact, I believe it was the apostle Paul, if I remember correctly, dear friends, who said that that was the only thing that mattered, the cross of Jesus. Everything else is the same as dung. It's no better than fertilizer. There's nothing in my life more important, said the apostle Paul, than the cross of Jesus Christ and the preaching of it. Isn't that something? But that was then, dear friends, that was the apostle Paul. And now we have Rick Warren. He's come to the Jews, the largest assembly of Jews in America, with a simple message. Is it Jesus on the cross? No. Smile and be friendly. And build a community to each other. Now, 4,000 rabbis and lay leaders were there. 4,000 Jewish rabbis. What an opportunity to preach. Now, friends, let me say very clearly. If a Christian pastor went to such a group and preached Jesus, they would scream, they would holler, they would rent their clothes, they would throw tomatoes and beer cans and billy clubs, they would probably beat the man to death. Well, Rick Warren didn't want to be treated like that, so he made sure that he preached, well, smile and be friendly. Well, he did say a little bit more. He preached, it says here, on the need for love and the need for belonging. Belonging to what? Well, he didn't say. Rick Warren said this. He said, people are looking for love in all the wrong places. So did he tell them what were the right places? Well, no. Oh, my. Meanwhile, our good friend here in Houston, Texas, what's his name again now? Amy, can you remember the guy? Oh, my, my. Mine is totally gone. Yeah, Osteen. Yeah, young Joel Osteen, you know, the guy that has the books, the best-selling books, Your Best Life Now and all that. He was on the Larry King show once again. He was asked about the Mormons. And he was asked, are the Mormons a true Christian church? And he said, yes, they are. They certainly are. You know, maybe if he would quit writing books on telling people how to live such a wonderful, precious life and just preach the gospel, it may help. The fact is, the Mormons teach that Jesus is one of millions of gods. And if you believe in Joseph Smith and the Mormon Church and the Book of Mormon, which is a false Bible, you too can become your own God on another planet. When you die, if you're a good Mormon, you can go and become God of your own planet. And listen, you Muslims listening to me out there, you know, the Muslims preach that if they're very faithful to Muhammad as the prophet and Allah, their God, that when they die and go to heaven, they'll have 70 virgins as wives. Now, you know, a lot of Muslims are really attracted to that. They're waiting for the day when they can go to heaven and have 70 virgin wives. Now listen, if you're a Muslim out there, I want to tell you about a better deal. Become a Mormon. And then when you die, you'll go to some planet somewhere in the cosmos and you'll become God of that planet and you'll have millions of wives. I don't see how any respectable Muslim can stay a Muslim with just 70 puny little virgin wives when he could have millions if he just became a Mormon. Joel Osteen says it's a Christian church. I mean, what respectable Muslim wouldn't want to become a Mormon? You get Jesus, you get to be your own God, and you get millions of wives. Now, if you're a woman, now you may want to reconsider that. You may not want to become a Mormon wife. You're just one of the millions serving your husband somewhere in space, outer space. See, this is the thing that people get when they don't listen to the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Spirit of prophecy, the Bible says. And Jesus said, yes, I go to be with the Father, but I will send you the Holy Spirit, and he will tell you about me. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? That's the only job of the Holy Spirit, to convict people of the truth of Jesus Christ. And Joel Osteen goes on international television on the Larry King show and say, yeah, the Mormons are Christians. And Rick Warren is invited to the largest assembly of Jewish rabbis in America. And what is his message? Smile and be friendly. Well, here's another group, a little bit different than Joel Osteen and Rick Warren. They've got a wholly different message. It's a group called Hookers for Jesus. You heard me right. Hookers for Jesus. They're based out of Las Vegas. They're ex-sex workers who save souls by going to strip clubs and porno conventions. You know, where they have the triple X-rated movies and so forth. It says here, now the vivacious double act patrol the city's neon-lit streets with a dramatically different mission to save souls rather than their bodies. With their peroxide blonde hair, contour-hugging outfits, and surgically enhanced chest, they do not look so different from their former incarnations in the city's notorious sex industry there in Las Vegas. But their tight black t-shirts give them away. Their new mission as born-again Christians is to be hookers for Christ. Embossed in gaudy pink, the word hookers appears above the Christian symbol of the fish above their chest. One of them, however, her t-shirt bears the legend, Holy Hottie. She's a holy hottie. Yet another group calls itself JC's Girls. Oh my. We love what we do, says Mary Carey, a self-styled adult megastar who has prayed with one of the hookers for Jesus. Then we go to Chicago, Illinois, and we visit Senator Barack Obama's church. Of course, his pastor has become quite infamous. Trinity United Church of Christ, I have their official statement of their activities and what they do. They have an Africa ministry, of course, but they also have a dance ministry. Includes children, youth, men, and women who are taught the principles of modern dance, ballet, and interpretive dance. They are also taught the African roots of dance and worship and the biblical basis for praising God with dance. Isn't that nice? Obama got to learn how to dance there at his church. You can dance the African way if you want to. It says here that there's children's dance, preteen dance. Just having a ball. There's also a drill team, a drama ministry, Girl Scouts. They got it all. Okay. All right. Having fun. Hookers for Jesus. Dancers for Jesus. Smile for Jesus. And then there's Hillary Clinton. She says she's a good Methodist girl. And there's Senator John McCain. He says he's a Baptist, goes to a Baptist church, a Southern Baptist church in Phoenix, Arizona. Well, listen to this news item. Hillary Clinton and Senator McCain hold vodka drinking contest. On a congressional trip to Estonia, Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton astonished her traveling companions by suggesting the group do what one does in the Balkans, hold a vodka drinking contest. Delighted, Senator John McCain, who was on the plane, quickly agreed. And they chugged a lug. Oh my. They say they were a bit hazy on who drank how much, who won. Chug a lug for Jesus. Senator McCain and Senator Clinton. Well, this is Text Bars. We've been looking at churches and pastors and Christians gone wild, if they are indeed Christians. Volume 4. It's been a delight having you on today. I love to expose evil doing and uplift Jesus Christ, who, believe me, cannot be found in any of the places that I talked about today. My prayer, dear friends, is you will tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.